Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. In Mississippi today, voters will consider Amendment 26, which would end all abortions in that state and could also restrict in vitro fertilization and certain kinds of birth control. The ballot initiative is part of a national campaign that next year will target Florida, Montana, and Ohio. Coming up later, we'll hear from a national spokesperson for Personhood USA, the Colorado-based group behind the national campaign. We'll also hear from a spokesperson for a group established in Ohio to oppose the ballot initiative here, if and when it occurs. Joining us from Jackson, Mississippi to talk about what's happening in Mississippi is Elizabeth Crisp. She's a Metro reporter for the Clarion Ledger newspaper there. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thanks for having me.
So what do we know about, what are our expectations about how the vote will turn out today?
Actually, the latest poll just came out yesterday, and it definitely shows it'll be, if it's any indication, then it'll be down to the wire. That poll showed it at 45% in favor, 44 against, and then the rest were still undecided. So we're expecting it to come down to the wire tonight.
Who are the undecideds? Do we know?
It is interesting. The poll did show that the undecided do tend to fall into the categories of people who were traditionally against it. Women have been more likely to be against it. Independents, also minority groups, particularly African Americans, and those have tended to be the ones who fell into that undecided group.
When it was first introduced, was it different than it is now? In other words, were people more supportive of it, and it narrowed as time went on as people learned more about it? What do you think?
I definitely think that it, just a couple of months ago, I think everyone expected it to pass solidly, but there has been kind of a shift in it. It probably has been because the opposing groups have kind of stepped up their efforts to try to, inform people about some of the questions that they have, some of the kind of unanswered questions that lie within it.
My guest is Elizabeth Crisp. She's a Metro reporter for the Clarion Ledger in Jackson, Mississippi, and we're talking about an initiative on the ballot there that would ban most, if not all, abortions that are currently legal in Mississippi. If you have a question or comment for Elizabeth, she's only going to be with us for another 10 minutes or so, and then we'll move on to the pros and the cons on the issue in Ohio if it occurs next year. So get your calls in, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. The lack of specifics in the language, Elizabeth, have some people concerned, according to news reports. What are they worried about?
Well, right now, what people are voting on is it's to add, into the state constitution language that would define a person. And it just simply defines a person as any being after fertilization or the functional equivalent thereof. And so I think where the questions are coming up is how will that apply to the, thousands of times that person is referenced in, state law and the state constitution. And, how will a court interpret that, I suppose?
Well, if it passes, I know that the attorney general, I cannot remember if the attorney general is running for reelection or not right now. But
yes, he's on the ballot.
He's on the ballot. Okay, he has said that he will enforce it, which sometimes isn't necessarily an endorsement, but he said he will enforce it. So who makes up the rules for what will be enforced? How will it be enforced?
And I think that's one of the big questions out there right now is what exactly will it mean? Hearing from different people, they say, I've talked to legal experts, and they said that it would first be up to the legislature. They'll come back in session in January. They could, pass different, laws that would specifically address it. But I think at this point, everyone's pretty sure that it will be up to the courts to decide. I think there is a potential for two legal challenges, actually, because obviously you have, does this conflict with Roe versus Wade, but also there's some question of whether this is an appropriate use of the ballot initiative process in Mississippi, because it has the potential to alter the Bill of Rights here, which cannot be altered through the initiative process.
In what way would it In what way does it have the potential to alter the Bill of Rights?
I think that's just a since it is part of it. Obviously, any reference to person could be altered through it.
Both the gubernatorial candidates and the outgoing governor, as we mentioned, Haley Barbour, have said that they support the personhood initiative. Mm-hmm. Does anyone prominent like that speak for those who oppose it in Mississippi?
Not really. Both of the candidates for attorney general have said that they supported both the candidates for governor. There hasn't been anyone, necessarily in office who's really come out against it. But there have been, you know, people in the medical community, even people in the religious community. One of the Catholic bishops here said that he has concerns about it. And so I think that was kind of interesting to see just how it is splitting the medical community and the religious community.
Well, has the Catholic Church in Mississippi endorsed it?
They've not taken a formal position on it.
Have individual dioceses, that sort of thing, been talking about it or?
Well, like I said, the bishop who's based here in Jackson, he said that he could not, you know, support it. He said that he wasn't going to encourage, you know, Catholics to vote either way, but he said he personally couldn't support it just because he had so many questions about what it would actually mean, particularly in cases where, you know, a pregnancy where the mother's life is in danger.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you, what if an abortion is necessary to save someone's life? Whose life gets saved, the mother or the fetus she is carrying? Who is the person that wins? Do they know?
I've heard from people who take different legal interpretations. I've tried to talk to different, you know, law professors, attorneys, and they all seem to have different answers. So, like I said, I think that's something that the court will ultimately have to decide. If it makes it to that point.
And what do we know? Have people been asking about women who abuse drugs or alcohol or engage in dangerous sports that could harm a pregnancy? Have those kind of questions been raised?
Yeah. I mean, those are all, you know, like I said, just there are a lot of questions out there, and I don't know that anyone has the right answer. It's so hard with something like this because, like I said, there are so many different ways to interpret it, and I've heard different answers from different people. The people who, you know, support the initiative say that, you know, already there in state law there are, you know, exceptions. In Mississippi right now, you know, if someone harms a pregnant woman and her fetus dies, then that can be considered homicide.
Mm-hmm.
So they say that, you know, well, there are already different protections in there. There, you know, women can get abortions in Mississippi right now. So it hasn't affected that. So they say that they believe under these specific clauses that certain things would still be okay, particularly, you know, life of the mother. I talked to a doctor, and she said that would be sound medical practice for a doctor to realize that you have to save the life of the mother first. But like I said, it is something that I think only a court can interpret.
I know, what are the medical organizations, the physicians' organizations saying about that? Because the liability potential is interesting.
Right, and there has been a group of doctors that have been very outspoken in opposition to this because they said that they do feel like it sets them up for, you know, liabilities. They could potentially, you know, face time in jail or something if there is a, you know, judge or a district attorney that decides to interpret the law that way.
And then the issue of miscarriages. I guess that's yet another thing that would be dealt with if it, you know, gets through the courts.
Right.
By the legislature?
I guess so. That is, it is kind of funny because there are, you know, just these questions out there. And, people try to say, oh, I have the answer to this, it's so easy, it's this way, but then I'll hear the opposite from somebody else. So like I said, I think it is just going to take a legal interpretation from a court because they'll ultimately be the ones whose answer becomes law.
What do you know, Elizabeth Crisp, about Personhood USA, where it comes from, you know, what inspired that organization?
Well, I met with the founder of Personhood USA, and obviously they are opposed to abortion, and this is one way that they see of potentially, you know, outlawing abortion in the country. But it definitely seems to be a more of a philosophical, he believes that, you know, a person is any being after the point of, at the point of conception, and wants to try to, I guess, show that. So that is how people believe.
The morning after pill, the IUD, mm-hmm. different kinds of birth control methods that occur after mm-hmm. fertilization. What of those? Is it clear that those would be now banned, or is that also unclear?
I think that's still unclear. I've heard from different people that, you know, it might be on a case by case basis, looking at, you know, specifically what the drugs do. But again, I've heard from doctors who say that it may just be only in certain cases, like with the pill. From the best that I can tell, and obviously I'm not a doctor, mm-hmm. But they've said that, you know, the pill's primary function is not to, you know, harm a fertilized egg, but they said that there are questions that in some certain cases could that potentially happen, and if it could, then would that, you know, also be outlawed?
There is a connection. You brought up Roe v. Wade from 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court mm-hmm. case from 1973, that established the constitutional right to an abortion in the United States. And then, of course, since then, there's been rulings that give the states the rights to legislate those issues. But I read that Personhood USA has been brewing for a long time, since 1973. Do you know anything about that?
I'm not sure about that.
Do you know why they waited until recently to start this campaign?
I don't know that it was necessarily waiting until recently, because they have tried this in Colorado
right.
a couple of times, and it was defeated. But you know, I believe that they were contacted by a group in Mississippi. Well, one man in particular, who lives in North Mississippi, who's been you know, a part of the fight against abortion in Mississippi. And I don't know necessarily how he got in contact with them, but I believe that he contacted them for help in this effort. And he was the one who actually got it on, you know, onto the ballot, secured over 100,000 signatures in Mississippi to get it on there.
Okay. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us today. Really appreciate your help.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Elizabeth Crisp, she's a Metro reporter for the Clarion Ledger in Jackson, Mississippi, where they're considering an initiative that would establish personhood in the state of Mississippi, thereby banning abortion for most, if not all, cases, pregnancy in the state. We're going to continue our conversation. We're going to hear from the national organization that's backing that initiative in Mississippi, and will as well in Ohio next year, probably. And we'll also hear from a spokesperson for an organization opposed to such initiatives. Stay with us. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
On Wednesday, November 9th at approximately 2 p.m., the Federal Emergency Management Agency will conduct a national test of the emergency alert system. This station will participate, and the test will be heard on radio and seen on local cable and satellite TV. The event serves as a reminder that everyone should establish an emergency preparedness kit and emergency plan for themselves, their families, communities, and businesses. For more information on this test, visit FEMA.gov.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Ohio Department of Health. The Ohio Medical Reserve Corps is looking for medical and non-medical volunteers who are ready to help Ohioans when disaster strikes. More details at ohioresponds.gov.
60 degrees and sunny in downtown Columbus at 10:20 this morning. Sunshine throughout the day, warming up to a high of 70 degrees. Beautiful day today for Election Day in Central Ohio. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 48 degrees. For Wednesday, showers are likely and a windy day with gusts as high as 29 miles per hour, a high of 64. Mostly cloudy Wednesday night, a low of 36 degrees. Partly sunny on Thursday and colder, a high of just 45. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
In Mississippi today, voters will consider Amendment 26, which would, if it passes, would end all abortions in that state and could also restrict in vitro fertilization and certain kinds of birth control. The ballot initiative is part of a national campaign that next year will target Florida, Montana, and Ohio. Joining us now from Colorado is Jennifer Mason. She's the national spokesperson for Personhood USA, the Colorado-based group that is leading the national campaign in Mississippi this year. Welcome, Jennifer.
Good morning.
Also with us is Sandy Tice. She's a spokesperson for Healthy Families Ohio. Healthy Families Ohio is an emerging coalition of medical professionals, legal and constitutional experts, faith leaders, and others who oppose any attempt at such an amendment to Ohio's constitution. Welcome to the show, Sandy.
Thanks, Ann.
Jennifer, Initiative 26 hinges on the distinction between human being and person. What's the distinction and why does it matter?
Well, there is no distinction, and that's the purpose behind a personhood amendment. All human beings are people, and I think that's a statement that almost everyone can get behind. And we know that the child in the womb is a human being, scientifically speaking. So now that we have that knowledge, which we didn't have in 1973 when Roe v. Wade was passed, we didn't really understand what was going on in the womb, and many doctors actually believed it was just a blob of tissue in the womb. Well, now we know that abortion kills a living, growing, developing human being. And we know that there is a child in the womb, even at the moment of conception, who has gender, eye color, all determined at that moment of conception. So we believe that because all human beings are people, all human beings should have personhood rights.
Sandy Tice, science has advanced. We know more about developing, you know, what develops in a pregnancy. Why do you agree that that should change our definition of human being or personhood?
I think this is one of the most dangerous assaults on women's health and safety that I've ever seen. And the ramifications for this are so outrageous that even the supporters don't understand what those ramifications are. You heard the reporter from Mississippi. You asked her a lot of really good questions about what could happen, and she said she really didn't know. Ohio has 15,000 references to person in its constitution and its laws. And so if a fertilized egg is a person, some of those ramifications are silly, like if I'm carrying twins, can I ride in the high occupancy vehicle lane? But some of them are really dangerous for women. What happens if a woman needs an abortion to save her life? Or what happens if there's an ectopic pregnancy and the doctor needs to come in and do surgery? Is the doctor and the woman going to get hauled into jail and prosecuted?
We're going to get to a lot of that. Jennifer Mason, where did Personhood USA come from? When did it start and who started it?
Well, it was started after a young college student in Colorado decided to try a personhood amendment through the ballot initiative process here in Colorado, and the measure did not pass, but there were so many calls from across the country of people who wanted to start personhood amendments in their state that that's how Personhood USA was born. And actually, you know, it's one of those things that's so neat because it's from the ground up, it's from the people up, it's a grassroots movement, it's not imposition from the government. It's the people deciding that they want a personhood amendment and trying to pass it.
Now, it failed twice in Colorado by pretty wide margins. I was wondering, how do you decide that you were going to go to Mississippi this year if you've had calls from all over the United States? How do you decide who gets the benefit of your advice and your guidance?
Oh, well, we would like to help every state if we could, but actually Mississippi came to us and they've done all the groundwork and they did the petitions and got over 130,000 signatures on the petition, which was far more than what was required to put it on the ballot. So it was really the people of Mississippi who chose to do it, and we're just offering our support.
So I've read that you're planning, or personhood initiatives are planned next year in Florida, Montana, and Ohio. So are you helping in all three of those states as well?
Yes, as much as we're able to, we are.
Okay. And Sandy, who are the groups and individuals that make up Healthy Families Ohio, and why are they organizing before the amendment has even been formally proposed?
I think that even though the initiative got defeated pretty soundly in Colorado, it looks like they have a pretty good chance of a victory in Mississippi. We're afraid that that would give them momentum. When the medical community first heard about this, I think everyone just thought that this was so ridiculous it would never pass. So if it does pass in Mississippi, they will have some momentum, and Ohio will be one of the next battleground states on this. So they decided they needed to get together early and educate people just about some of the strange and dangerous consequences of this.
Jennifer Mason of Personhood USA, Les Riley, the leader of the Mississippi's personhood movement, has said that he hopes challengers will take the law all the way to the Supreme Court. Why is that good, to take it all the way to the Supreme Court? And what do you envision the timeline on all of this, how long it might be before this question is resolved legally?
Well, it's hard to say. We can't predict what's going to happen. And actually, we wouldn't say that the Supreme Court is our ultimate goal.
Okay.
We believe that states have the right to protect their citizens. So if a state decides they want to protect citizens in their state from being killed, they have a right to do so. So we would have to watch and see how this plays out in court. But we have scores of very competent constitutional attorneys who say that this is a very valid method, a very valid proposition, and they plan to defend it as far as it can go. And I would also like to address that we keep hearing about dangerous consequences, but there are not any dangerous consequences. And in fact, the Mississippi Center for Public Policy released a statement just last week saying that ectopic pregnancy would still be treated just as always. IVF will not be made illegal. Birth control will not be made illegal. Only pills and procedures which intentionally kill a human being, and which are also dangerous to the mother, I might add. Abortion is a dangerous procedure, and so is RU486 in the morning after pill, both of which would be affected by Amendment 26. Outlawing those dangerous procedures is not a bad thing. We'll have healthier women and healthier children, obviously, if these personhood amendments pass.
That Mississippi Center for Public Policy concluded in its analysis that passage of the personhood amendment would not change current Mississippi statutes, to wit, the state law that permits abortion in order to save the life of a mother, the ectopic, in cases of ectopic pregnancies, for example, and also the law that exempts physicians from being prosecuted for terminating an ectopic pregnancy. But would passage of the issue clear the way for the legislature to ban abortion? In other words, are they... what's holding them back now from doing those kind of things now? Is it just Roe v. Wade?
Well, I want to be clear. This will ban abortion, absolutely.
Right.
This says, because the child in the womb will have they already do have the same rights because they're not given by the state.
And even in cases of rape and incest?
Well, yes, of course. Okay. It would be hypocritical for us to say that all children in the womb are people with a right to live unless they were conceived in this way or that way. If they're people, they have a right to life.
That's, and that wouldn't require – I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt you, Jennifer.
Oh, no, go ahead.
But that wouldn't require legislative action, though.
That would not.
Okay, for cases of rape and incest. Okay.
Right, but if they did want – if somebody wanted to make, removing an ectopic pregnancy illegal – I don't know of anybody who would want to do that. I certainly wouldn't vote for that, because if the mother dies, the baby dies also. These personhood amendments do not supersede the rights of the mother. They merely make it so that the child in the womb is another patient, and that patient should be evaluated and treated much like his mother is treated. But it doesn't mean that the mother is less important or not to be treated as a patient just because the child is a patient too.
There have been lots of advances, as you mentioned, in healthcare and in pregnancy care. So the situations where a fetus could survive outside of the body, but the mother could still die, those have increased. I mean, it used to be that everybody died if there was a problem with the pregnancy. How do you choose when it comes to that?
You don't have to choose. You don't have to kill one to save the other, ever. And in fact, there are no cases. We've had many doctors testify, some of them from Ohio, actually, that there are no cases where a child must be intentionally killed to save the life of the mother. You can do a C-section, and if the baby dies because he's delivered early, that is a tragedy. And I know families who've experienced that tragedy, and it's a very sad thing and a hard thing. But it's not the same as intentionally killing the child just because you think, and we've heard many doctors testify also that doctors can be wrong. They can tell a woman, you know, oh, we have to take this baby now, and they're wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not always necessary to even remove the baby. But, I'm just saying that it's very important to realize that a baby can always be delivered early, and they can give the baby medical care in order to help the mother receive treatments sooner if that's what she desires, or whatever the case may be.
Okay. If you just joined us, my guest is Jennifer Mason. She's talking to us from Colorado. She's the Communications Director for Personhood USA. And also with us, Sandy Tice, spokesperson for Healthy Families Ohio. We're talking about Amendment 26. It would end all abortions in that state and could also restrict in vitro fertilization and certain kinds of birth control. A similar initiative is efforts to get a similar initiative on the ballot in Ohio next year are underway. If you want to talk about this with us, 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Make sure you tell our screener if you're for or against so we can keep it as balanced as possible. Ed, you're from Baltimore, Ohio, and you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Ed.
Yes, thank you. Usually I would say with all due respect, but the lady is using hypocrisy, circular logic, and almost any kind of thing to talk about this particular bill.
So you're not you're not neutral on this issue?
I am. I think it's a necessary evil.
Okay.
I don't like the process, but incest, rape, the life of the mother. On the one hand, she says this would not this would eliminate all abortions, but on the other hand, she says you know, ectopic pregnancies would be treated just as normal. If the mother's health is in danger, it would be treated just as normal. She can't have it both ways. And the other thing is, with the adoption crisis that we have in this country, and I know two families that both of them had to go overseas to adopt. One was because they got fed up with the bureaucracy. The other was because they were a gay couple and wanted to adopt, and that's illegal in this state. Who's going to adopt all of these unwanted children that we already have a problem caring for? It seems to me that this personhood group cares more for the unborn that aren't here and in many cases couldn't survive outside the womb until a certain time anyways than they do about the people that are alive already.
Let's have Jennifer Mason respond. Thanks, Ed, for that call. Jennifer, you want to respond?
Certainly. Well, in cases of ectopic pregnancy, removing the baby is not the same as the brutal abortion procedure that we have in this country that dismembers the baby and kills the baby intentionally. If a baby dies because he or she is removed because of an ectopic pregnancy, unfortunately, we don't have the technology right now to save those babies, but I believe in the future it will definitely be possible. So, and the same goes with a C-section. There's no reason for these gruesome, horrible murder procedures that we have in this country when a baby can be removed via C-section and then adopted if the mother does not want to keep the child. And that's the other question that he brought up about adoption. There's a waiting list in this country to adopt a baby. And I would certainly love to adopt a child, but there is I believe it's a 2-year wait period. You have to wait to get a baby in the United States. So, but, you know, even if all of the babies were adopted out, would that still make it okay to kill some babies, even if there weren't children that were considered unwanted in this country? I don't think your worth depends on if someone else wants you or not. You are worthy as a person, no matter how other people feel about you. So I think that's very important to note, that even if we did adopt out all the children, which, as I said, there is a waiting list anyway. Mm-hmm. But even so, that doesn't make it okay to kill a child.
Sandy Tice, thoughts?
Your person from personhood keeps talking about how this won't affect commonly used forms of birth control. Yes, it will. There are some birth control methods that prevent implantation. Fertilization has already taken place. And they choose their words very, very carefully. I think the common ground in the abortion debate should be pregnancy prevention. Abortion should be safe, it should be rare, and it should be legal. And what we need to do is try to find a way to reduce the number of unintended pregnancies. And she talks about caring as much about the the woman's health as the child's health. Well, in vitro fertilization, which is a very common way to help infertile couples who really want to be moms and dads become moms and dads, they fertilize the egg. They take the sperm and the egg and they put them together in a laboratory. And then they get, hopefully, if things are working well, they get multiple fertilized eggs that they can implant in the woman. Under personhood, if some of those eggs are discarded, she is telling us that we are killing a human being. What are we going to do? Are we going to have octomoms running around all over the state? Are we going to put women's health in jeopardy by forcing them to carry an unreasonably large number of multiple births? This thing makes no sense. And if they really wanted to put exceptions in there for IVF and for ectopic pregnancies, they could have put it in the amendment. They drafted that amendment. And now that other people are starting to realize the dangerous consequences of it, they've got people without any medical expertise saying, oh, that wouldn't happen.
Jennifer Mason, the latest polls show at 44-45, pretty much neck and neck in Mississippi. And a lot of people are saying it's because they don't know fully what the ramifications are, the vagueness of the issue amendment has been brought up several times everything I read. Why not put in more details about what it would and would not ban or allow?
Well, the nature of a personhood amendment is an amendment to the Bill of Rights to define who the term person applies to. So there is no question that all human beings are people, and that's all that the amendment says. And there's a reason for that. It doesn't need to say anything else because, especially when you look at the IVF process, IVF will not be banned. It will not be made illegal. And this is from, again, the Mississippi Center for Public Policy, IVF doctors, scores of OBGYNs in Mississippi. They all agree it will not make IVF illegal. However, it will be illegal to, you know, she said, to discard embryos. But what they do is they destroy them. So they destroy human life. They kill a living human being. When the processes for cryopreservation will still be available, they're not going to have to implant a woman with all of the embryos created at the same time. That's really ludicrous.
They just wouldn't be able to destroy the embryos left behind.
Right, exactly. So the only thing a personhood amendment can do is say it's illegal to kill a person. So only pills, which certainly cause abortions, which some pills do not, and no contraception would be affected whatsoever.
Well, IUD wouldn't it, or not?
Well, it depends. If they prove that an IUD kills a human being, then yes, it would be. But I believe women have a right to know that. If I use a device or take a pill that's causing an abortion, I should have the right to know that. And right now, they don't say. So if they prove that it does kill a human being, then it would be made illegal, and it should be. But if it doesn't, then it will not be made illegal. It's a simple... We can use common sense to look at this, and the lawyers have been through it and all around it. If it kills a person, it would be made illegal. If it doesn't, it will not. IVF is a procedure that will not be made illegal by the personhood amendment.
Sandy Tice, do you agree it's that simple?
No, it's not that simple at all. That what the medical community tells me is that some types of hormonal birth control pills can prevent implantation, and so can the IUD. It doesn't happen in every case. And what do? Put little tiny cameras inside a woman to figure out whether it's preventing implantation or not? These forms of birth control have helped keep the number of unintended pregnancies down. Why would we risk that? Why would people who want to ban all abortions risk that? This doesn't make any sense. They are so short-sighted in their zeal to get rid of all abortions that they're causing all sorts of dangerous consequences for women and families.
We are talking about a proposed constitutional amendment. It's being voted on in Mississippi. It would ban all abortions in the state of Mississippi, including possibly some forms of birth control. Similar amendment could be on the ballot in Ohio next year. If you have a question or comment about it, give us a call, 614-292-8513. And I want to let you know, I have all people who would oppose the initiative waiting to get on the air, and I want to get to some of them. But if you support an amendment like this for the state of Ohio or anywhere, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.
Women, War, and Peace, War Redefined, challenges the conventional wisdom that war and peace are men's domain. Tuesday night on WOSU-TV, watch interviews with leading thinkers, secretaries of state, and seasoned survivors of war and peacemaking. Their experiences reveal how women are emerging as necessary partners in brokering lasting peace and as leaders in forging new international laws governing conflict. Watch Women, War, and Peace, War Redefined, Tuesday night at 9 on WOSU-TV.
This is 89.7 NPR News. In 20 minutes at 11 o'clock, Tech Tuesday begins with a discussion of social media and its use in the election. Also, how to upgrade your computer. Join us for Tech Tuesday at 11 on All Sides with Ann Fisher.
Support for 89.7 comes from the state auto insurance companies providing home, automobile, and business insurance products and services to Central Ohioans since 1921. State Auto is on the web at stateauto.com.
Sunny skies today, a beautiful day actually, with a high of 70 degrees. Partly cloudy tonight, a low of 48. Unfortunately, rain moving into the area for Wednesday, and actually a pretty windy day. Wind gusts as high as 30 miles per hour tomorrow, and a high of 64. Looking ahead to Thursday, there is a chance of rain and a high of 45 degrees. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues on 89.7 NPR News.
In Mississippi today, voters will consider Amendment 26. It would end all abortions in that state and could also restrict in vitro fertilization and certain kinds of birth control. The ballot initiative is part of a national campaign that next year will target Florida, Montana, and Ohio. Still with us from Colorado is Jennifer Mason. She's the national spokesperson for Personhood USA. It's the Colorado-based group that is leading the national campaign in Mississippi this year at the behest of people in Mississippi. And also Sandy Tice, she's spokesperson for Healthy Families Ohio. It's a new group formed to oppose a personhood amendment in Ohio. Sandy Tice, how might a personhood amendment in Ohio fare compared to Mississippi? It's neck and neck in there right now.
I think one of the reasons why they chose Mississippi is because they were desperate for a victory. This thing got thumped in Colorado on two separate occasions, and Mississippi is a very uneducated, socially conservative state. Like you said, both candidates for governor support the personhood initiative, and I think Ohio is still a pro-choice state. I think Ohio recognizes a dangerous gimmick when it sees one. And one of the things that I find interesting about our coalition is the biomedical groups in Ohio are very, very influential. The Cleveland Clinic and the teaching hospitals that we have are really powerful. They're some of our state's top employers. And the medical community is appalled by this. So I think we have some interesting voices that will be opposed to this in Ohio that are all part of our emerging coalition. And I think people will be able to see through this and will defeat it.
Jennifer Mason, are you expecting a little bit tougher time of it in a place like Ohio or not?
Well, you know, I would have to defer to the Ohio Personhood group on that. You know, we offer our support, but it really is the groups who do this. And I would like to point out too, we didn't choose Mississippi. We were asked to help, and we were happy to offer.
I said at the behest. Yeah.
Right. I think that that the other person, though, speaking out against us as said that and also insulted the people of Mississippi, which I don't think is very kind. But you know, I think this is about human rights. And I think even in states like Ohio, it really comes down to, do you believe that every person has rights? And if you believe every person has rights, you need to vote yes on the personhood amendment. That's what it boils down to. And that's really what the amendment is all about.
Okay. Emmanuel, you're in Westerville and you would oppose a personhood amendment in Ohio. Welcome to the show.
Hello. I oppose that so badly because I just don't understand what the intention is for. Women are free to have their freedom. It's a free country, period. And I want to ask her, find out from her how many children she has adopted that we're looking for. I mean, children we're trying to protect, how many have they adopted to prove that they are interested in saving every child that they claim they want to save? Thank you.
Okay, Emmanuel. Thanks for that call. If you support a personhood amendment in Ohio, give us a call. We would welcome your participation. Will and Amanda, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Will. Okay. I can't get Will on the phone yet.
Am I here?
Okay. Will, you're there. Welcome to the show, Will.
Okay. I was just going to comment that I think people have to realize that we have to take the choices we make in our life very seriously.
Okay, so you support the personhood amendment idea?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And I think when we get to the point where we look at sexual relations as a pastime, we're in real trouble as a society. We have to realize that the choices we make are have consequences. And I think we've become a society to where we're a society of convenience, not a society of responsibility. And until we get to the point where we realize that the decisions we make have severe consequences and do affect someone else, we're going to continue to have this. These problems.
Well, what about things like in vitro fertilization and the issue of the fertilized eggs in those cases?
Well, I mean, if you can fertilize a single egg, more power to you. But if you can't, then you've got to realize that there's consequences. I'm sorry, everybody can't have what they want in this life. This life is not going to bring us everything we want. And if you can't do it, then you don't do it. And I just think we reached a point to where we want to make everything as a matter of convenience, and it's not. There are harsh consequences to the decisions we make in this life, and not everybody's going to be have the same options in life as everyone else. We can't make everybody equally fair.
Well, what about people who want to use an IUD for birth control?
Well, if it's a matter of killing a fertilized life, a human egg that has a heartbeat in a matter of weeks, then I think we don't do it.
Okay.
But I think it gets down to we have to make the decision as to whether or not we want to leave this life face the choices we make to our maker.
Well, thank you, Will. We appreciate it. I'm glad you called. Take care. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jennifer Mason, this on its face might appear ridiculous, but when we talk about legal terms and that sort of thing in the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, sometimes these kinds of issues can come up, and I read it on a chat or posted on after a newspaper article, and it said if a zygote is a person, then can pregnant women get an additional exemption on their income tax returns? To what extent do you see a fertilized egg as a person? What's the tipping point? What do you mean by that?
Well, I think we can look at countries like Ireland, where abortion is illegal, and see that those kinds of cases are ridiculous. They don't happen. You know, if somebody wanted to pass accompanying legislation to say that was possible, I don't think anyone would support that. I certainly wouldn't. There's no point in it. But that's what would be required to have some of those outlandish circumstances applied to the personhood amendment. It really just says that every human being is a person. If you're a human being, you have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's all. And you know, the right to a pursuit of happiness doesn't really even apply as a baby because, you know, you're not able to accomplish those things for yourself. And it's similar to the child in the womb. And, you know, I just like to point out, too, this is not about eggs. This amendment does not mention eggs. It does not talk about eggs. This is about personhood from the moment of conception. But in this country, abortion is legal through all 9 months of pregnancy. So this is just
Wait a minute. Where is it legal through all 9 months of pregnancy?
After Roe versus Wade was passed, there was a court decision, Doe versus Bolton, which made it legal through all 9 months of pregnancy. There are late-term abortion clinics scattered throughout the country. There's one here in Colorado.
But usually those are typically for women whose lives are threatened and the abortion is to save their life. I mean, you make it sound like in Ohio, it's very restricted on who can get an abortion. Sandy,
familiar with George Tiller? He was a late-term abortionist in Kansas that passed away a few years ago.
Wasn't he murdered?
He was murdered, yes. He was killed, which we absolutely do not condone any violence against people born or preborn. But his records that were released, names were redacted, but they released some of their files, and they were aborting babies up to 9 months for reasons like depression or not being able to go to a rodeo.
Okay. Well, the law of the land continues to be Roe versus Wade, and it says states have no authority to restrict abortions after viability. And so that's
right.
Really what's happened. And what this personhood initiative is, it's a direct attack on Roe versus Wade. And because it was so poorly put together and not thought out properly, it will have all these unbelievable unintended consequences.
Well, but it was very well thought out. It is just a personhood amendment, as I said. And these consequences that keep being brought up are just not true. IVF will not be banned. Contraception will not be banned. Only pills and procedures which kill a person. It all comes back to whether every human being is a person or not. And science tells us that from conception there is a new living, growing human being there, and abortion kills that human being. But you can, if you would like to, you can look up Doe versus Bolton and read that abortion is legal through all 9 months, or even look up a lot of these late-term abortion clinics in the country and see that women can have abortions right before delivery if they choose.
This continues to be one of those anti-abortion groups that likes to peddle misinformation. The anti-abortion movement killed Dr. Tiller. That's a fact. I'm not blaming the person on the phone, but I think some of their conduct encourages that kind of thing. And we've seen a bunch of misinformation both in Mississippi and in here. The personhood people came out and said that the Mississippi bishops supported this. They did not. They did the same thing in Colorado.
They did not take a stand on it, right?
They did not take a stand on it. In fact, one of them was even quoted as saying that a certain bishop signed the petition to get this on the ballot, and the bishop felt the need to come forward and say, no, that didn't happen. I didn't sign the petition. And people are not aborting 9-month fetuses. When you don't have the facts on your side, I guess you can just start making stuff up. And that is what the anti-abortion movement has been doing for a very long time.
614-29.
If you look at Dr. Hearn's clinic here in Boulder, Colorado, they do late-term abortions all the time. That's what they're here for. So if you do just a little reading or research, you'll see that abortion is legal through all 9 months, and there are clinics who do those abortions. It's just a fact. You can look, you can Google it if you'd like. But
if you go state by state, no matter what, it's still, some states don't allow it, some states do. There are places in the United States where you can get an abortion. I understand what you're saying now, but not in every state. It's not legal everywhere.
And they're medically necessary. These late-term ones have to be medically necessary.
I don't think going to a rodeo is medically necessary, and I don't think depression is medically necessary, especially when a C-section, when a baby is viable, would accomplish the same thing and allow the baby to live. So, and you know, I just think that you have to realize this is not just about eggs. This isn't even just about those babies at 9 months. This is about babies through the entire process. By the time Planned Parenthood will do an abortion, for example, a baby has fingers and toes and a heartbeat and brain waves. You know, it's not just about one small classification mm-hmm. of these babies. It's about babies through all 9 months of pregnancy. Okay. When, I mean, regardless of what she says, it is legal to have an abortion. Any woman can fly to any abortion clinic. If it's not legal in your state, you can go anywhere else to have an abortion
late term
if you desire.
Sally, in Columbus, you're on the air. You oppose an amendment like this in Ohio, in Columbus, or I mean in Ohio or anywhere?
Is that me?
Yes, Sally. Hi.
Hi. I do oppose that amendment, and the inconsistency that has always baffled me is that when we think about the term intentional killing, how does that relate to the death penalty? And I become extremely agitated. The death penalty is not only killing and intentional killing, it is also state mandated or state sanctioned. And it's been my understanding that people who are in prison on death row are people as well. So I've always had an issue with that, and I'll take any comments off the air.
Hi, Jennifer Mason from Personhood USA. We apparently had several emails bringing up the same issue and other callers. Can you address that?
Yes, well, I'd like to know if people who think that that the death penalty is wrong, if they're also against abortion. Because it seems to me that when this we do not take a position on the death penalty, and this personhood amendment has nothing to do with the death penalty. But let's say that, you know, someone brings up this issue. Whenever I ask them, well, if you're against the death penalty, you're certainly against abortion, which kills an innocent human being, right? They often say no, and I just don't understand the hypocrisy there.
Okay, we're looking for another person out there who supports the amendment and 614-292-8513 if you want to get the call in right away. Madison in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Madison. Are you for the amendment or against it?
Actually, it's more of a question because I went through IVF for 8 years. And
through in vitro fertilization.
In vitro fertilization, and we could not get pregnant. We kept getting just one egg. And after the 8th year, we got lucky, got implanted 3 embryos, which were viable. But because I am small and 3 eggs, and we did not expect this at all, it would not be possible for me to carry them to term, much less 20 weeks. It would not be even savable, and you couldn't even save them in the preemie ward. So we had to make a choice, and we were advised to take 2 out. But we opted for 1, knowing that it will still be premature. And sure enough, the kids were premature by 2 months. And I cannot even tell you how difficult it is to raise preemie kids. But in that circumstance, we had to make a choice about life over another life. We would have lost all 3 embryos.
Okay, well, we're running out of time, and I want to let Jennifer Mason. Jennifer, in that kind of situation, when you know where you're going, are you suggesting that maybe Madison should not have gone down the in vitro fertilization path in the first place?
Well, if she went down the in vitro fertilization path to have her children, I personally don't have a problem with that. But, you know, I don't see why they couldn't have tried 2 embryos if she was willing to be pregnant with twins. And, you know, further, I don't know how I would face a choice like that. I don't believe, and this is just personally speaking, if I were pregnant with twins, okay, for example, I don't know how I would choose which one to terminate.
Okay.
I think that that's a very difficult decision, and I don't think it's a decision any woman should be forced to make.
All right. Jennifer Mason, thanks. And Sandy Tice, final word?
Thank you, Madison, for the call. I think this shows why these decisions need to be made with the woman and her doctor based on what's best for the family.
Sandy Tice, thanks for joining us today. Sandy Tice is the spokesperson for Healthy Families Ohio, and also Jennifer Mason. Jennifer, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate it. Jennifer Mason is our communications director for Personhood Ohio. Thanks for listening. You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 MBR News.